Now, I'll be talking to Jack Byrne, who was the, should I say founding fathers? It'll be sexist. Founding person. Are you there, Jack? Good morning.
I am indeed, yes.
Yes. So, tell us about how you started Near FM. It's nearly 23 years, or is it more? Because it started as a
It started long before that,
yes,
in fact.
Yes,
yes. In the late 70s, there were a lot of particularly young men around Dublin setting up small pirate FM radios, but they were all modelling themselves on a commercial model.
Yes.
And I was heavily involved with community development work, credit union and GAA clubs and that. And I sort of sensed that we could use this medium of FM radio for community development purposes. So in the late 70s and early 80s, we had established in this area a pirate community radio station to experiment with using radio as a tool for community development.
Yes. And now, I'm just going to ask you, how did you get this idea first? Who inspired you?
I think it was just my own intuition. There was nobody else doing it at the time. I was always interested in people's right to communicate. And I've always been pushing that concept that people should be empowered to speak, So, I mean, a lot of the stuff was very much, I thought it up myself, and later on I read, and other people around the world were coming up with similar intuition. So I think it just was something that certain people were looking at the technologies that were developing and becoming available and seeing could they be used for purposes other than commercial purposes, you know?
Yes. Now, did you find any deficits now in the community where the people couldn't speak?
Sorry, say it again?
Did you find any deficits in the community where they couldn't speak, that they couldn't voice their opinions?
Well, nobody. I mean, I knew from trying to set up community development projects, I couldn't get any coverage, particularly from, well, radio at that stage was just public service radio, which was a national service, and it didn't cover local issues. But even print media, I mean, I used to go to journalists with ideas, even when I was trying to talk about community radio, and I'd meet a journalist who would be really excited about it, but I knew from bitter experience that the editor wouldn't be that excited, and generally the interview never appeared in print. So I sensed that people trying to do community development work were excluded from media. It just didn't seem to suit the agendas of commercial media particularly. So that was part of the drivers for me, was we needed our own media service to talk about all of the community. I knew there was a lot of community development work happening, but it wasn't being recognized or celebrated. So that was the sort of driving force for me in setting up community radio.
It's really, for me, it's a dilemma, because I think the Irish are well known for looking after each other. And also that, I mean, you do a lot in developing world, isn't it? You know, aid programs and so. And I'm surprised that it was so difficult for you about community development.
Oh, well, we had a mindset in at that stage, and it still is very much in existence.
Yes.
Within politics, there was a sort of a mindset that they should develop commercial media as the next stage beyond public service media. Now, we were promised, because I was in talking to the Minister for Communications, that we were promised that community radio would also be facilitated, but of course it wasn't. We were left sort of waiting.
Is there a fear?
Were set up, yeah.
Was there a fear of you know, people would voice their opinions?
Well, they just didn't. I mean, my idea, I mean, politicians looked at me as if I was mad, talking about using radio for community development purposes when you could be using it for commercial purposes.
Yes.
They could understand the simple logic of radio to sell advertising, but my idea of using it for community development, most politicians are not leaders. They don't have a great imagination, I have found over the years. They wait till there's a groundswell of public opinion, and then they'll rush forward and say, follow me. But they don't ever act as leaders. I mean, So my ideas of commercial, I'd have to say Michael D. Higgins, who is currently running for election again, was the first politician that understood what I was talking about.
Well, he's more concerned about the community, I suppose. He talks and writes about the community. So tell us about, what do you mean by the community? It's a big word, community.
Well, the reason we use it, I've just listened to somebody found an old archival piece recently when I was launching the station 20 years ago,
yes.
23 years ago. And I made the point, I tried to keep it simple. So I said to people, community radio is more about community than about radio, because I found when we established a network of community radio stations, when I went to the first meeting of these people from around the country, they were all talking radio and
yes.
transmitters and mixing desks. And I said to them, you're not radio stations at all. You're really community development.
Mm.
Radio is the tool, the resource you're using, but you're not radio stations. But it took a lot of convincing to get them to think more about community and less about radio. Well, I think we've got there. I think most people understand that now. And certainly in Near FM, we've had over the years really good people, who both volunteers and staff, who all understand that this is what we're using the radio as a resource for community development.
Yeah, it's because it's by the people, for the people. Most of the volunteers are from the community, and so I suppose it goes both ways, that people could be involved in these producing programs and so, and they don't need to have degrees or media studies, or they can do their own thing, and it's independent, which is a really important thing. But the community also has all kinds of diverse opinions. They may be right wing, middling, whatever, you know, left, whatever. So I suppose we have to broadcast all kinds of opinions. Is that what you think?
Well, absolutely. I mean, I think the whole idea of community radio is that we live in a pluralist society, but
yes.
particularly with commercial media, only one voice, one set of values gets espoused continuously. All the alternatives are squeezed out. And I think the attractiveness of community media is that we really do set out to have a plurality of voices, and it's everybody's right to communicate. This, I think, is an inalienable right of every citizen, the right to communicate. The problem is, with public service media and with commercial media, most people's voices are not heard. There's a small sort of cohort of people that are generally brought in to speak, and what we try to do with community radio is widen that sort of net and invite people in. Another thing I think we do locally with Near FM is also good, because I found, even when I initially was invited onto RTE Public Radio to talk about community radio, when you're new to the medium, your mouth sort of dries up and you're nervous and you're not quite sure if you're making sense. And generally, I think people, when they come into Near FM, would say the same thing. God, if I got another chance, I'd say it better. And the beauty of community radio being very local and accessible is that people do get a chance to come back and gain the skills of communicating and speaking on air. So it's a real empowerment for people to be able to come back and come back again and gain these sort of skills in communicating.
Well, I do it all the time, Jack, thinking that I should have done it better the next time. I'll do it better, you know. And we as volunteers, we are.
I think we also have a really good opportunity in community radio, and I keep saying this, and it's one of my complaints that we don't avail of it enough. People who work in public service media or commercial media are totally, the individuals are totally constrained. They're locked into formats that they have no control over.
Yes,
we in community radio own the resource. We have a blank slate. We can actually experiment with all kinds of activities and contents. So we have a real empowering freedom that the current management committee of NEAR will know this. I still bemoan the fact that we're not being innovative and creative enough. I still think there's other things we could be doing to experiment with the resource that we have, and
yes.
that we have the the ownership of and the freedom to use. I just think we still could be experimenting more.
Tell us more about it. What kind of experiments do you think we should be doing?
Well, I just think that we still don't innovate enough in terms of facilitating citizen journalism. Just more, we could be more creative in the ways that we... I think a lot of the programming we do, it's still very formulaic. We're following the formats of mainstream media.
Yes.
And I think that's... We need to break free of that shackle, and we need to... And I know, I understand people, even like yourself and George, you come in to do a program and you look around and you'll sort of look at the tried and trusted ways to do programming that is evident on other radio stations. But I think we need to step back and say, can we do this differently? And I'd love to come over sometime and do a workshop on ideas about alternative media, how we could explore even part of the content should be experimental, and we should be trying out. Some of them mightn't work, but
yes,
I do think we need to experiment a bit more. While we have the freedom that we have, we should be experimenting. We shouldn't be aping what mainstream media does.
Actually, I totally agree with you. But the problem is that we are in boxes, so it's very hard to get out of the box, isn't it?
I know.
Yes.
But we do need... I think what we need to do is we need to encourage each other out of the box, okay?
Exactly.
We need to goad each other and say, is this the best we can do with this freedom that we have? I mean, it's an incredible freedom that you and George have. You're actually live on air.
Yes.
Nobody is bossing you. The listeners are interested. Clearly, we have a good listenership, so people like what we're doing. But we're still doing terribly formulaic stuff. I just think some part of the schedule should be more experimental. As I say, some of it mightn't work, but then we say, right, that didn't work, well, we'll try something else. But there's loads of ideas that could be tried out.
Yes, but Jack, you see, you could say those things then because you're one of the founders, right? But the thing is, like, we come here and we work in a different way, so we have to keep to the box, right? But for instance, myself and George, we are, you can hear my accent and you know I'm a migrant, okay? So there are now, the community has new people coming in. So I'm one of them. And so
yes,
I suppose,
absolutely.
Yeah.
That is what we set it up for also. I mean, I remember when we set it up, there was actually a lot of print media hostility to new people coming into the country.
Mm.
And there were scurrilous articles about flooding into the country and taking all the social welfare. And one of the reasons we set up community radio was to give a voice to new immigrants, you know, people who were new to the community, who had as much right as the rest of us to be here and to speak. And I think over the years, certainly Near FM has been very welcoming, and I believe that we've been very welcoming, and we've always given a voice to people who are new to the area.
Yes, and the other thing is, like, George and I, we are in this studio together, and we talk about things that happen in the community, and so people can hear us, that in spite of my accent, I also know what's going on in the community and that we have assimilated. But that doesn't mean my identity is taken away from me. So you see, we can keep our identity as well as encourage other ideas to come in into our world, right? So I suppose...
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, so I think George and I, in some sense, we are the new people in the new community. Isn't it, George?
I'm probably a bit too old to be called the new
community.
Well, I don't know. Maybe Jack might get me out of a hole here. Jack, you mentioned archiving earlier. I found that piece that you did. I found another fantastic piece as well that you did. We're not too sure when because there's no date on it. It's from Local Point, and I think the brief or the title of it was Planet Murdoch. Which I found fascinating because this was at least probably 15, maybe 18 years old, and you spoke about the advent of globalised media, the threat to our community. Does that still exist?
Yeah, I've written so much stuff and waffled for so long about all of this. Yeah, I still maintain the ideas I started out with in the late 70s are still relevant. I still think there's a lot of work still to be done. I mean, commercial media has become more entrenched and more inane. I think increasingly there's a need for community media that is thoughtful, that encourages listeners to be thoughtful rather than just, you know, being consumers. So I do think, George, that there's space still for Near FM and generally community radio to up its game even more and be even more relevant as commercial media particularly sinks to these lowest common sort of denominator sort of levels of lifestyle programs, you know, celebrity gossip. These are cheap reality shows. They're all such cheap things to produce, and we're just inducing mindlessness in people. And I think more and more citizens need community radio and community media to encourage them to think, just to think about life.
Yes.
And what they want to do with their one shot at life, you know?
Yes.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Absolutely.
Actually, it generates thinking, isn't it, George?
It does. I mean, yeah. I just pinch myself because I came in here, what, 15 years ago. I was involved in the old days as well, but I was a bit of a technophobe. I'm doing multi-tracking now on digital stuff that I wouldn't in a million years have been doing had it not been for this place. So I'm eternally grateful, you know, for it opening up my mind. And, you know, as well on the outside, I would never have got to know you, Lakshmi. We would have never had the chance to work together.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm from a different place you're from, but we came together in here. And I think that's one of the great pluses
of the place.
Well,
I think that's the beauty of it. It's a nice melting pot of people with different cultures and backgrounds and ideas. And I think, George, I think you would agree with me. It has always been a very welcoming place, Near FM. You know, people come in, they might be nervous initially, but I think they're always made welcome. Part of the project, you know.
Mm-hmm. We're like a little family in here, Jack. We have our squabbles from time to time, but we get on.
And I'm
we're very
I'm the
familiar.
Grandfather.
You are. Lakshmi?
Yes, and I'm a grandmother. I was just going to say...
I haven't started yet, but anyway.
I was going to say that, you know... The fact that I still am a semi-retired, let's say. I'm a mental health professional. So all what I learned from about this community or this society is from the clients that I met. So, and most of them were from the north side. I didn't know many people who were other immigrants because there weren't many. I'm here more than 40 years. So my learning is all about from this society, so I want to contribute.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Mm. Well, I mean, I'm originally a South Sider, but I still think you're better off on the North Side.
I think
originally from the South Side, but I've put down roots on the North Side, and
I think
the area we're in is a nice, friendly, welcoming area.
And also, it's very vibrant.
And again, just coming back to when I was setting up the community radio station, one of the things about the North Side and Coolock and Darndale particularly was all they got was a bad press, you know. It
yes.
was only newspaper articles about joyriding, drugs, murders. And I knew from my own work in the area that there were hundreds of people quietly doing good community development work that were never acknowledged by any media.
Mm.
And that was another factor that drove me to set up community radio. I wanted to acknowledge this good, solid work that was being done.
Mm.
And also because a lot of people, when they were reading the media about their area, really thought they lived in a war zone. And I felt community radio could rebalance that and say to people, there's lots of good, beneficial things happening. Be proud of your community. Get involved with your community. Because that sort of bad news drives people into their homes and they don't even want to engage in any civic activity. So I think another of the real challenges for us, and we still need to be doing more of it, is that community radio needs to be developing civic pride in people,
absolutely.
A willingness to volunteer,
yes.
and to get out and get involved with some sort of project in the area that appeals to them and that will enhance their community. And I think that's the sort of thing that I think community radio does very effectively day after day.
Yes, I certainly
agree. I'm on my soapbox now. I shouldn't be lecturing you.
No. We do agree with it. But the thing is, this, you see, it's difficult to be too radical, isn't it? To bring new ideas, as you were saying. I mean,
I agree, and I'm getting a bit long in the tooth now to be an old radical, you know. I mean, I've been at this too long, but it needs young people like yourselves now to take up this challenge and see how can you develop. I'm now recruiting both of you there, George. Okay.
Okay.
I think you need to start.
I'm signed up anyway.
Medium even more effectively for community development purposes, and community development is a big, big space. It can be cultural, it can be sporting, it can be spiritual. There's loads of things we still could be doing that I think we're still not quite doing with our radio service.
Actually, there's a lot you can do about mental health. People can talk about it. Because we are trying to do, I mean, because of my background, I'm really interested in mental health. Because there are voices that you don't hear at all. And it's the structures in society. It's the structures in maybe the services. So we need to pinpoint those weaknesses in these services and talk about it and talk about it.
I agree. Absolutely. Yeah. I agree with you. Because, I mean, again, I think, see, media plays with people's minds. It gets into people's heads, and it can be a very disruptive influence. A recent essay I wrote was about this, and I was saying that, in fact, it almost makes people suicidal with the bad news, bad news that media presents. People think they live in an absolutely fraught world, that there's no hope, there's no light at the end of the tunnel. I think while we don't want to be sort of naive, but I do think community media can rebalance that and say to people, life is still worth living and can be even more worth living if you engage with your community and become an active participant in community life. And I think that's the sort of message I think we need to keep pushing home in across all our programs.
The thing is that there are people helping, but they're very quiet helpers. They don't publicize their philanthropic work. For instance, now if you open the paper, you'll see all about tsunamis, right? But they don't realize there are communities that help people in Indonesia or in Sri Lanka when they had the tsunami. It's all about giving aid or how much is promised and how much is given by maybe the Western countries. As if the people in these countries don't help each other, it's the same. And most of the news is about people need help, but they do need help, but not in the way as if nobody's doing anything in those countries.
Absolutely, I agree. Yeah.
Unfortunately, I have to be the bearer of bad news. We've run out of time, Jack. But we could talk about this forever, and that's off you for the work that you've done.
I'll come into the studio some morning, and we'll chat about it some more. Okay?
Absolutely.
And you should come in and give us that what you were saying about giving us a program, right? A workshop. That'd be a good idea.
Okay. Okay. Good to talk to you both.
Great stuff, Jack. Thanks a million for taking time out. Thank you. Bye-bye. And we were joined there by former Near FM and Media Co-op chairperson, Jack Byrne.